The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Are tourists more likely to get ripped off on their travels? Now, what prompted this is a story we came across based in Paris, where a cafe, there were complaints about the cafe ripping off tourists, having a two-tier structure, if you like. The locals got treated one way, the tourists got treated another way. So some intrepid reporters locally decided to go in. One presented himself as French, the other dressed up in the usual American tourist garb and put on an American accent. They both ordered exactly the same thing, lasagna, a Coke and water. So all the time they were filming themselves, so this is on record. And what happened to the French identified customer? He was served a can of Coke, small, for €6.50. He was offered a carafe of water, free, along with his dish. The American, on the other hand, wasn't offered a small can, wasn't on the menu as far as he was concerned, only a medium or large Coke, and when it arrived, it cost €9.50. As for the water, well, the American received no offer of a carafe. Instead, he was charged for the water, a bottle of Vittel, and they charged €6 for that. Then the American was offered garlic bread on the side, which he said, oh, thanks very much, but not being told there was a further €6 of a charge for that. Now, the bill did include a tip at 10%, but the American was not told it included a tip, whereas the French identified tourist was. And the American identified tourist was said, would you like to tip your waiter? 10%, fine, great. And then when he got the bill, they turned the 10% into 15%. So rip off, rip off, rip off. We'll talk to Owen Curry, a travel correspondent, about all of this in a moment. But first, we're going to hear from our current intern, Alex, who is American, about her experiences.
I'd say living in Europe, when I'm traveling around, I've definitely noticed it when getting taxis. So let's say I'm the first one to get in the taxi and I obviously speak, I have an American accent. I've definitely noticed that the taxi fare would be higher when I've kind of been the one to speak versus when my partner, who's Irish, or if I'm with other friends that are Irish speak, they, I would say, get the local fare, whereas I'm definitely upcharged. So it's something that I'm very conscious about and I'm very aware of, that when I'm traveling and I'm with someone else that's not American, I kind of try to push them and get them to speak. Another kind of example is when I travel to Latin America, I'm very aware to only speak in Spanish because I know that they might expect more tips, me coming from the U.S., or they might try to lure me into tourist traps. So it's definitely something I'm very aware of, and I'm sure other American tourists are aware of also.
It does happen here too. It's not just in Paris, which obviously is a very expensive place to begin with. And then, of course, the taxi who'll take you to Dundrum and South County Dublin via Santry, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, Owen Curry is on the line. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Three or four things going on in that Paris story, but it goes back to the same thing. Once you're a tourist, once you leave the country, you're a walking ATM.
That's how they view you.
Pretty much. You know, it's those of us who travel a lot spend most of our time trying to pass ourselves off as a local, or at least being savvy enough to not be ripped off or to not be susceptible. Some of what went on in Paris is illegal. The thing about bringing the tip up from 10% to 15%. The rest of it would probably be standard practice, not passing on the information in the hope that you'll get a few, shake down the tourists for a few more bob. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, so that business of, you know, the water is free if you're local, you're French, you get a carafe of presumably clean tap water. Time was you wouldn't trust Parisian tap water. It's probably better now, certainly since the Olympics and all the rest of it. But that kind of thing is sharp practice.
Sharp practice is one thing. And, you know, then you're into a whole labyrinth of tipping, which is very, very complex. It's been tinkered with a little bit by the French taxation regime. If you tip with the credit card, it's not taxed as it was before. And I noticed Donald Trump has removed tax on tips in America, because America is where the whole gratuity culture is taken on a force of its own. It's gone from within my time about 12% to an expectation of 20%. But that's pretty much replicated all over the world. What happens in one country, other, you know, the other cultures look at it and say, particularly for Americans who are high spenders, let's shake these guys down for a few more dollars.
So the idea is the Americans are used to tipping, and 20% might be the norm. Even if you order a simple round of drinks at a bar, 20% might be expected by the barman. So therefore, they're used to it, and therefore we can expect it too.
Pretty much. If you get, you know, people will be familiar with the bill. You get the machine, it suggests a tip of 5% or 10% or 12%. In America, it starts at sometimes 18, but usually 12, and goes up to over 20%, 22%. I was chased down the street, Pat, in Vail in Colorado, by a waitress who wanted her 20% tip. So I did point out that the breakfast I'd just eaten was a buffet, and she said, well, I poured the orange juice. it's pretty much a runaway culture over there. And, you know, they're paid so badly, you're actually depriving them of part of your income by not tipping. That's part of what's going on in America.
I mean, that is the reality, isn't it? That it's a low-wage economy for serving staff. I mean, there may be no wages at all. You may be expected to live on your tips.
Absolutely. It's not legal, but it is done in some places that, okay, we're not going to pay you at all. You're going to survive on the tips, because I know tipping is so much part of the culture. Europe, not so much. And 10% would be the norm for good service. But we also have this issue of it being put on as a service charge in the restaurant and the waiter then looking for the tip on top of it. That's just sharp practice.
That is just sharp practice. Now, the question of what they're going to do about it in Paris, obviously this cafe has been identified and vilified, I suppose, but I suspect they'll just shrug it off and carry on.
It won't make any difference. I think the Champ de Mar is right beside the Eiffel Tower. It's a pretty easy target. Le Parisien, the newspaper that we sent the journalists out, probably was working on accumulated knowledge that this was going on. They may actually have chosen the time as well to target particular waiters, because no matter what the restaurant does, an individual waiter can try something. We know the instances in Ireland, public houses where, you know, instances where individual barmen, but the culture in the restaurant and the culture in the country contributes to it. And I think that's where tourist boards and people who are in the hospitality and overseeing the hospitality industry need to step in. I also need to bring some good news. Since there is more tourism, tourists are seen less as an oddity and less as a target. I mean, there are entire stand-up comedy routines on the ancient tradition of shaking down tourists. Brendan Grace would have told jokes about American tourists, and Neil Tobin, the famous Welsh comedian Rod Gilbert, talks about coming to Dublin and buying a shamrock hat that screamed, "I'm a tourist, rob me blind." And of course, Trevor Noah, the American Saturday Night Live, talks about the joy of going abroad and seeing the same place twice as you're driven around in the taxi. It's part of, it's part of what is passed into popular culture so much that it's a meme or a trope. Yeah. And as tourism becomes more common, I would expect the ripping off of tourists would become less common.
One of the aspects of this, of course, is that Tourism Ireland, you know, they want people to come back, return visits and so on. They want to encourage people. Whereas the particular hotel, bar, cafe, restaurant, they don't really expect to see that tourist ever again. So they happily rip them off, knowing that there will be no return visit. You know, it's the one-off trip to Ireland, whereas corporately Ireland would like to see that person come back again and again, or tell their pals, Ireland was great, go to Ireland. Instead, they'll go home and tell their pals, Ireland is a rip-off.
Partly true, and the reason is that the loyal customer coming back, very, very important, as you say, to tourist boards. It's endemic in car hire culture, by the way. The way they try to shake down people when you're about to take the car, you're vulnerable, you're tired, just off a flight. They try to sell you extra insurance you don't really need. But if you're a loyalty member, it tends to happen less. I've discovered that over the years. On the restaurant point of view, peer review has been a great advantage. People depend very heavily on, even to a greater extent than they do word of mouth from people they trust, and they do look at the review sites. So it isn't in the interest of a restaurant anymore to get a reputation for shaking down tourists.
All right, Owen, thank you very much. Now, the comments coming in are incredible. The rip-off happens here in Ireland too. Take the golf clubs, not all, that charge an international rate and a GUI rate, and the difference is substantial. So the local gets the GUI rate, which is lower, and then the green fee for the tourist is much, much higher. We got absolutely ripped off in Rome. We sat for a coffee, albeit in a very touristy area, overlooking a fountain, a city square, etc. But the price was eye-watering. There's no way an Italian would have been charged that, but maybe they wouldn't even have gone in. Well, they probably are used to the fountain and used to the square, and they don't need to take the tourist spot. I mean, when you have a coffee or a beer on the Champs-Élysées, you pay through the nose for that. And what you're paying for is the seat and the view and the chance to sit down and watch the whole world go by in all its glory for a half an hour or whatever. We can say it about Ireland that there's discrimination because we rip off everybody. No discrimination here. What happened to us in Lisbon? We hopped in a taxi outside the airport. We're charged over €50 for a reasonably short trip. The hotel admitted they had taken the proverbial, as we are, tourists. Didn't happen again, but left a bad taste for us about an otherwise stunning city. Never mind Paris. In Ballybunion, the pint is cheaper for the locals. That's according to Dermot. Just back from Japan. No tipping whatsoever anywhere, even if you wanted to tip. In Vancouver, Canada, last year on holiday, the till at the beer store has suggestions of a tip of 15, 25 and 30% for buying a six-pack, and they have proper minimum wages there. Just back from Salou in Spain, we found if we paid cash, the server would just take the cash and get back to work, making the tourist ask for change. This works, I assume, very well with the shy tourist. We gave a tenner for a can of Red Bull, and she went back to what she was doing. Happened in the very next place as well. We were wise going forward with small notes or card transactions. That's from Rob in Cork. Go to Venice, Rome, Florence, etc. and there are different prices for the tourists everywhere. I ordered a beer via a tablet at a bar counter in Newark Airport, only to be prompted for an 18 to 25% tip. The barmaid, in quotes, took the can from the fridge and placed it in front of me without uttering a single word. Seriously? In Paris recently, stopped for coffee when paying for two teacups of coffee, €27. My husband questioned the price, and in his French accent, the waiter said, "You're in Paris."